We want to be strong and courageous, like God told Joshua. But what happens when we're not? What happens when courage fails? We want to do the right thing, but when the moment of decision comes, we chicken out and hide behind false bravado, and sometimes even profanity. We're going to look at two instances in the life of Peter, because Peter was spectacular for his failures. And this is one of his greatest failures. But that's not the significant part. The significant part is what God did with him later, how God reacted with him and how God worked with him later, and how Jesus talked to him later. Because what happens when you fail? You had all kinds of good intentions to do something, and then you wake up and your breakfast of champions is turned into soggy Rice Krispies. When you look in the mirror and you wish it didn't reflect the hollow image behind your eyes. How do you handle the failure? What did Jesus do? Turn with me in John's Gospel to John 18. And here we're going to see not just where Peter denied Jesus, but how Jesus dealt with him later. It says, now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, you're not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, talk about how you were remembered. Peter's great swordsmanship skills. I'm going to give you all a hint. If you're in a sword battle, arms and legs and torso and head is a much better target than cutting off someone's ear. You're going to make them mad, all right? Think about it. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. So then, Jesus is crucified. He dies, is buried, rose again. And some days after that, he's come back and he's having breakfast with the disciples. And Peter's sitting there feeling like 200 pounds of wet mush dribbling on a plate. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So he said to them, tend my lambs. Other translations say, feed my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. When the going got tough, the denial happened. Now, this was significant in Peter's life because he just had this conversation with Jesus that he would never deny him, that he would follow him. He'd go everywhere he went. He'd do everything he wanted him to do. He would be the best little Jesus follower there ever was. And Jesus looked at him and says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter's going, nuh-uh, not me, no way. I'm strong and courageous, just like you told me. I'm a big boy now. And then he goes and gets there. Luke records three conversations. John just includes two of them. And he's standing there warming by the fire, saying to himself, don't notice me, don't notice me, don't notice me, don't notice me, don't notice me. It's kind of fun. You can watch that around here when it's greeting time. We have some of the folks that don't like being around other people, kind of standing in the corner going, don't notice me, don't notice me, don't notice me. And others are getting in their face and shaking hands, and it's just interesting to watch. One of them's a little servant girl. She says, you speak just like him. I saw you with him. And Peter does the big bravado thing. He cusses. Because, you know, when you don't have any other vocabulary, you know, when you're all out of words, if you cuss, it gives it more power somehow, we seem to think. And if you don't believe that, watch any action movie put out in the last 20 years. It's a strong, silent type. 90% of the vocabulary, cuss words. Why, I don't know. Didn't do them any better than it did Peter. But when the going got tough, the denial happened. We want to be strong. We want to be courageous. But when that moment of challenge actually comes, you're felt that lack of courage. I was in class at the university, and the professor was making fun of Christians. And he says, we don't have any of those kind of Christians in this class, do we? And rather than standing up and boldly taking my stand, I just kind of slipped farther back down on my seat. When you're my size, it's hard to fit in those seats. And don't notice me, don't notice me, don't notice me. It was a tremendous sense of shame because you didn't stand up and be courageous about who you are. See, when the going gets tough, the denials happen. When the kids say, aren't we going to go to church this week? No, I got something else to do. And the denial happens. You see, that is the nature of us as human beings, to be weak, to have faults, to not be right. Talk a mean talk when it's in the right place, but as soon as we get around people who disagree, to wimp out. And so then he watches Jesus on the cross from far off, He watches him get put in the tomb by other guys. He was not even one of the ones that took care of his body. He was standing back and watching. He did run to the tomb early in the morning after the women told him it was empty. He was not the first one there. And then they're sitting down to breakfast. And here's Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You know, from our culture and our way of doing things and our expectation of things, we would have expected Jesus to have talked to him and dealt with him a different way. To Jesus to have said, hey, Peter, do you remember that night? Tell me what happened that night, Peter. Tell me about the little servant girl you ran from. Just so Peter would feel the sense of shame. Jesus doesn't do that. We'd expect Jesus to say, "Come on, you wimp, tell me what happened." He didn't. See, Peter was condemning himself enough. Jesus knew he didn't need any more. I got a question for you. Why do we blame ourselves more than God blames us? Why do we think poorer of ourselves than God thinks of us? Jesus had just freely given his life in Peter's behalf because he valued his friendship and love for Peter so much. Peter didn't have much value for himself. Jesus did not say, "Come on, Peter, buck up. Be a man. Grow a spine." Or some other anatomy. He said, "Feed my sheep, Peter. Care and provide for others. Tend my lambs. Take care of the folks, Peter." Jesus never even slapped him real good. He just said, "Feed my sheep." Now, if you want, you can have all kinds of fun about different Greek words for love and friendship used here. And, you know, you can go read about it, Google it. You'll find all kinds of stuff about that. Just have all kinds of fun with that. So. But when it came time to have this, I love this, come to Jesus meeting with Peter, you know. Instead of grabbing him and shaking him and saying, "Peter, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Peter, take care of the sheep." And Peter's going, "But I'm not brave, I'm not strong, I'm not courageous. I wimped when you needed me." And Jesus doesn't care. He says, "What are you going to do now, Peter? I want you to feed my sheep." Do you understand where strength and courage come? It's from those who place the needs of others in front of their own needs and care for the needs of others. I was the youngest of four kids in the family, and so the start of school was always an interesting time because Mom was of the opinion that we all needed new clothes and new shoes to start the school year properly. Now, you have to understand that back in those days, four pairs of new shoes was a big deal. And we had our school shoes that we weren't supposed to wear to anything else until school started. And they were supposed to last in those days. Now, this is long before stupid tennis shoes with basketball players' names on them. My mother would no more have gone for that than the man in the moon. Okay? They didn't sell it at Sears. It wasn't good enough for us anyway, kind of thing, was the old, you know. Some of y'all remember the 60s. And we'd get our new shoes. And it would be a shopping day where all of us would go and we'd get new clothes and new shoes. And Dad never went with us. And I remember asking my mom one time, because Dad was a very wise man, I remember asking Mom one time, how come Dad never gets new shoes? And she looked at me, and she says, you should thank him for the new shoes he got you, and not worry about what he's doing. And it wasn't until I was grown and had kids of my own, I understood the concept of doing without so the kids could get them. By the time I was in second grade, that also included new glasses just about every year. Boy, I just, you know, parents had fun paying for four new sets of glasses, four new sets of shoes, four sets of clothes. I had two older brothers. Lots of times the clothes were bought for my oldest brother and came down the line. And I was third in line. My sister got all new stuff, and I couldn't understand why she got new stuff and I got my brother's old stuff. I understand that now. Because my parents put our needs ahead of their needs. They took care of their sheep. Jesus' response to Peter was not straighten up and fly right, fly boy. It was take care of my sheep. Tend my lambs. Care for the ones I will place under your charge. Feed my sheep. And then he talks some weird stuff about how he's going to die and what happens when you get old. And by the way, that gird yourself, that means put your own underwear on, okay? And when you get old, someone will do that for you. You have never lived until you've had to help somebody else put on their pair of Depends. I'm just saying. Somebody will help you and guide you where you don't want to go. My father says old age is not for sissies. He makes that very plain. And then how does Jesus end that whole phrase, that whole talk about the length of life? Follow me. You know, that's the very first words Jesus said to Peter. Peter, in everything we've done and everything we've seen and everything you've learned over the past 3 years, it all boils down to the same thing I told you the first time I saw you. Follow me. Peter says, are you going to give me a map preloaded with GPS instructions for the rest of my life? And Jesus said, with a smirk on his face, Peter, follow me. Peter, drop your recriminations, drop your self-pity, drop your whining about how tough it is, how scared you were of that little servant girl, and follow me. What words did God use when He originally called you? When you originally felt that first stirring of need to come to Him for salvation? Think about that for a moment. For me, it was as a 9-year-old boy, I remember God saying, I want you. I didn't understand that. I was a bratty, annoying little kid. Nobody wanted me to hang around them. God said, I want you. And that was significant.
God's first words to Peter were, follow me. Jesus' words of restoration after Peter's failure and bravery was, follow me. So what happens when you fail? What happens when your bravery has all the good intentions of the world but just doesn't measure up? Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep and come, follow me. When bravery fails, it's not a career ender. When bravery fails, it's not a do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to hell. When bravery fails, it's when Jesus says two things. He says, feed my sheep and follow me. Feed my sheep and follow me. There are a lot of sheep around. A lot of sheep that need fed. Sometimes you got to go find you a sheep. Sometimes part of feeding your sheep is going and finding them. Jesus told parables about the shepherd going out and hunting down the sheep. They've gone astray. If you're going to care for them, you got to find them first. And sometimes part of what we do as Christians is we spend time looking for and finding sheep. Going and finding people that God has placed in our path. Building a relationship that we can teach and feed and care for and help them learn. And he says, follow me. God's directions. It says that his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Or maybe the other way around. You can look it up. Proverbs 3. Find it. But God's word gives us the instructions to follow that we can follow him. So what do we do when bravery fails? We get back in the book and we take care of the kids. The sheep. Those we need to hear. So what about our lives? Be strong and courageous. And we win. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Be strong and courageous. And we fall silent. Feed my sheep. And follow me. For every failure we have an instruction from God to feed his sheep and to follow him. And that is God's instruction for Peter and for us. Last week and this week we looked at failures of courage. Next week we're going to look at some courage that worked in ways that nobody expected. But God was the driving force in transforming the lives of weakling cowards into strong and mighty warriors for God. And that's what he's going to do for us. Let's pray together. Father, please hear our prayer. Please grant us strength and courage. Please help us to understand your love and your grace, that we may follow you and serve you and do what you have in mind for us to do. Father, forgive us for our failures, but help us to be like Peter and not let a failure be an end. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.